Okay, I'll open the meeting at 10:02. And additions to the agenda.
If we can add the repair for the town garage.
Well, second.
Well, no. Yeah.
Yeah. But
often, well, we have to vote on that first. Okay, all those in favor of that?
Aye.
Now we'll vote on
okay.
The addition that we just, you know. Okay, so somebody want to make a motion to add to accept the bid?
Yep. I'll make a motion to accept the bid through Joey Blair for.
What was the amount that you came up with?
90,000 up at the top, I wrote it.
Oh, I see.
92.26.
Yeah.
92.26.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody want to second it?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yeah. And did we find out if, I just asked you about the insurance. You said we need an accident report.
Well, no, I submitted what I sent to you guys. I thought I forwarded it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
I'm
did.
Just saying in the future.
Yeah.
It's a separate issue, but I think an accident report should come to be reported because I'm getting a telephone call.
Yeah.
So that's a separate, you know, when we do.
You mean like a police report or?
No, but I'm not there.
But we can have, we can.
All you have to do is the supervisor could write.
Yeah.
What happened. It's just a template, but I get a phone call, you know, and I don't have all the
info.
Especially from the insurance.
Yeah.
So I did submit with what I could, and Austin did come down, and I put in his words what happened, but that would be nice to be on an accident. So that's for a future.
Okay. Maybe when we deal with the personnel policy stuff.
The CDL policy.
That one.
Which is covered.
Yeah.
And that's that.
So, okay.
Do you want me to make a motion that we accept that bid?
I think we've already.
Any more discussion? Any more discussion?
Yeah, that was a discussion. I think we already kind of accepted it, but and he can do it right off.
Yeah.
How long is the door going to take to get here?
I don't think it was going to be that long. He was going through Joy Door for the door itself.
Now, what if the insurance company has their own person or something and that nullifies? I don't know. I have no idea.
By the time they come around and do something, it'll be all done.
Right. But what if that nullifies a thing?
It could. Yeah.
Okay. So you're aware, just so that.
Yeah, it could. It might nullify.
Yeah, right. Passive, we're dealing with passive, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They haven't gotten back to you.
Make sure we get a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
No man's got
quite a few. Yeah.
What?
Something Dan did get quite a few pictures that I attached. I wanted to call to follow up, but I just haven't had time. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, pictures are taken in case the insurance company wants the pictures and all that, right?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So
we're on to
most, yep.
Now the list is part of the meeting there.
Our second person.
No, this is just.
So we can introduce ourselves around the table.
I'm Ed Fodfelder. I'm a senior appraiser for NEMRIC.
Okay.
I'm Jean Wilson. I'm an appraiser for NEMRIC.
Okay. Jean also is a lister in
Charleston.
Yes.
Okay. Susan Blackstone, lister number three.
Mary Bushy, lister number one.
Charleston, right over the hill?
Yes.
Oh, your neighbor.
Absolutely.
Isaiah Casey, select board member.
Miriam Simon, select board.
And David Stevens, select board.
Bill Parkins, select board.
Elaine Cashin, clerk.
Okay.
Jean is also the assessor in Morgan.
Yep. In Newark.
In Newark.
In Sutton. In Irisburg. Poor town. I just picked up Newark town.
The assessor or the lister?
Assessor. They got rid of their listers. So I fill in for the listers now. They don't have listers.
At all?
No.
Okay.
They have a lister clerk in many of those towns.
That will take care of the administrator.
They do transfers and HMSA declarations, yes.
Okay.
Actually, I want to clarify something while we're talking about that, because this is often a question I get from the select board or from town members, and they seem to think that if they get rid of the listers and hire an assessor, they won't need a lister. And I keep telling them, no, that's not the
You
case.
absolutely need
You need a
somebody.
clerk. And Elaine, I know Elaine knows because she knows how much clerical work I do, besides the assessing. So the assessor, if you hire an assessor, they just assess the homes. They don't do the filing for homestead or the VA credits, or they don't do any of those credits. So there's a lot more to it. So you still would need a lister clerk.
And answering questions.
Yep.
What
Yes. Yeah.
happens when the towns can't find anybody?
It's happening.
The town
It
clerk.
is happening.
The
Yeah.
town.
Well, but what happens is, and we see this all the time now, towns decide, well, we're going to get rid of the board of listers. But they didn't put any thought into the process you're talking about. Who are we going to get to come in and do all the real hard work? So, and without that, then they're left kind of left in the lurch, because there's nobody to come and do the really, really important stuff in the end. And the assessor is going to do a lot of the work in the field and be able to sign the grand list and answer the difficult questions. Maybe do current use, things along those lines. But answering that day-to-day question and getting information out and downloading those files from the state, that the state changed the game with how they do their work nowadays. And it's where it used to be somewhat normal and simple. It's not that way anymore. It's really, really complex.
Yeah, and so oftentimes the town clerk or the assistant town clerks takes on that work, and that pay is buried in the clerk's pay. So when, and I've had actually the treasurer, who isn't here, sorry, John, talk about you when you're not here, but he went out and he said, no, this town doesn't have an assessor, and they only pay this much money for an assessor, and they don't have any listers. And so there's no breakdown of the town clerk's pay, how much work is going into the listing part of her job. Does that make sense? It's kind of like the E,
If there's no listers.
yeah.
If there's no listers, it's kind of like the E911 coordinator. Remember, I looked like I did a poll of all the towns, and in all the towns, I think in Vermont, like probably 40 of them had E911. They paid for E911 coordinators. But listers or town clerks were the ones that did it, so it got buried, the cost of the E91 coordination, which is more difficult now too because of statutes, gets buried in the title or the budget of the lister. In our case, it was the lister's budget. So
And I think having a lister keeps everything clean. If
yeah.
you can, it keeps the deeds, the paperwork. I just feel like it keeps it clean.
Somebody has to keep it organized.
Yes.
And if one of our, we work in 50 towns, besides doing reappraisal, we work in another 50 towns. So we're all over the state. And we have a staff of 22 people. So we really are all over the state. But somebody to keep that all organized and deal with those transfers when they come in and working with you in terms of getting all that information entered, it's a sizable task.
I agree. I didn't know that when I started, but
Yeah,
I
yeah,
agree.
yeah,
I agree.
yeah. I think about, I'm from the town of Calais, and Calais has changed a lot since I've been there for 45 years. When I started there, I was a lister in Calais in the late 80s. But you probably didn't know, Eva Morse was the town clerk, the lister, the zoning administrator, the treasurer, the town clerk. She was a state legislator. I mean, she did all that by herself for 40 years. And those days are gone. They're just gone.
Well, the state is required, even as select board, this
Oh yeah.
what the state is sending us all the time now. Yeah, it's crazy.
So we answered that question.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So how do you go about you? In other words, I'm kind of familiar with what you do. But in other words, I don't know, you're going to use it. In other words, to do the appraisal on the out in the outfield, How do you go about that?
Well, so you start off with your existing data, and you create a file that's your. This is going to be a 2-year project. You have your working grand list, and you've got a reappraisal grand list to start them off of. And what we do is we send out, pick an area to go into. First of all, we just do a quick run through town, make sure we're familiar with where things are and what they are, what the issues are. And then once we start, we send out postcards in advance of where we're going to go off to, so people know we're coming, and they expect us to be there. If they have a real problem, then they can call back and make an appointment or say we didn't want anybody to come or whatever they need to do with all that. Then we go out and do our inspections, and we enter that stuff on. We use our tablets to enter our data with, so we do that in the field. We have to talk about cloud or whatever. We'll deal with that in a second. And you collect the data over, a period of about a year, year and a half, and then you come back and you do appointments as you as people call in for appointments. That's a process in itself. And then we do a complete sales review, develop all what the schedules are, get the base set up, working with the system. Then we go out and we do another field review. We drive by everything a second time. That's where we really sort of set values, and it's where you get we deal with your equity. We aren't going to go in the houses the second time, but we're taking a look at this place sold for this, and this means this one's got to be this, to kind of know where you're at with things. And then we do a paper review. We take a look at the changes in the values, and I don't really care what the prior values were. They're meaningless. But if the town went up, this day and age, towns are doubling. If the town, everybody in town doubled, but you've got a portion of the town that only went up 75%, and you got a portion of the town went up 225%. Well, why? So we try to understand why that happened. Was it data errors? Was it changes in the market? Whatever those are. So then we get that done, and then we give the whole thing to the listers for their review. So they can go through and find the questions that they have, make sure they understand what's going to go on. And then we go through a series of pre-hearings. Allow people come in, we answer their questions, talk about that. Then we have formal grievance. And hopefully there's never any BCA.
But we'll have one, we know.
Oh, okay. There's always one.
It's fine.
There's always one. That's real in a nutshell, what the quick process is. The camera system belongs to us. We own it. And it is in transition. We are in the process of changing that. We have our new system in two places. We're testing it right now in two places. It'll change things a little bit. Everything will be up in the cloud. I don't care what town you are in Vermont, at some point in time, in the next 2 or 3 or 5 years, everything will be up on the cloud. Everything.
And just to clarify, we have a cloud. We work on the cloud,
Yeah.
and so
Yeah.
the program we use is Nemr,
Yeah.
their Nemr program. So.
Which makes it really great for everybody, because if Jean wants to go in and look at a property, she can be at home or whatever town she wants to be in and go look at a specific property. I can do a lot of the hardcore computer work. I can do it from my office at home. If there's a question that comes up, I need to make a change. This morning I updated time adjusted sale prices in Winhall. We're doing a reappraisal in Winhall. I did that this morning. I'm going to go there tomorrow, but now it's ahead of time. It's all done. So that feature of it really, really saves us all a lot of time and effort.
Yeah,
It
I'm
really does.
sure. Yeah.
Our new system is away from the visual Fox Pro database old system that we've used for the last 30, 40 years, to a really sophisticated high-end .NET cloud-based application. It's pretty slick, what
Oh,
it
I can
did.
imagine. It's funny because I actually was a network administrator. And I programmed in Fox Pro. And when I first started using Nemr, I was like, oh my God, this is an old Fox
It is.
program. Yeah.
But
Excuse me.
the thing is, it worked. And so we've had this ongoing relationship with the state, and they use all of our stuff forever. And It's real difficult for us to try to transition away from that because the state kept making changes. Now they want you to do this, they want you to do this. And so the state couldn't transition away from it, and we couldn't transition away because we were continuously doing the mandates from the legislature. They want to do this, now they want to do that. So you got to build that stuff in. So we've taken the last couple of years and rewritten all that code. And by the time we get to be doing, Westmore, we'll be off to our new system. I'll probably give a quick demo about it at the CAMA seminars coming up in February. But we're doing a lot. We're doing a lot. So for your perspective, one of the things it does, it gets rid of the grand list per se. That one file is just now one file. Grand list and CAMA is all combined into one. I can explain to you why I got that way, but it's not important tonight, today. But so that, and it retains all your old data, all your old information. It's all still there,
Oh, God.
which is a nice thing about it. So all those grand lists you've got from the past, they're still there. We can still access all that data. So it's a nice application. It's a nice application. So that's a real quick summary of how we go about it.
Okay.
If that helps, I'll answer your questions.
I know that when you, this is kind of like a small question, but you mentioned about going around, going into houses, and if somebody says to you, "You aren't going in my house," I think I know the answer, but
You do the best you can.
yeah, I had one. I had another list to tell me how they were going to do it. So,
You
and I
know,
just wondered how you're going to proceed with that, in other
what the
words.
state used to teach 40 years ago. I understand. I worked at PBR for 8 years, 40 years ago. And what they literally used to, district advisors used to say, well, you'll get in there. You add a few extra dollars to the kitchen. You add a few extra dollars there. We won't do that. But you're going to get, you have the information that's already there. And a lot of the times there's information, there's information on the web now, especially sales information. We review all the NOS data
Got
parcel by parcel. So you know what that is. But why would you want to enter a relationship with somebody
I just,
on bad footing?
well, and why I bring it up is in the last appraisal that we did, there was some that didn't want, and the one that was doing the listing says, well, he'll eventually want it. We just run the price higher than, and he'll allow us to. When you, no, I just wonder if that still was the same old technique or.
No, that's philosophically the opposed to that. It's just not, right.
If I could add to that, there are places that I won't go into if I don't feel safe, so I'll drive up, and if it doesn't look safe, I mean, you can tell if it's sketchy.
When they come out with a gun,
Well, the dog, you can tell. There aren't very many of those, but I just take a picture and, just say, and talk to the listers and say if you really want to. But usually those, you can tell what's inside. It's not going to be high quality or high good condition. So usually people that don't want you in, they're very private, so why push it? So a lot of times, most of the time, they'll answer questions at the door. How many bathrooms? How many bedrooms? Have you done any renovating? Tell me about your basement. Do you have walls, lighting? So you can answer all the questions, and it's just filling out the form. And so you can do a pretty good job. And as long as you're not pushing to get in, they're usually pretty open.
How many times we've both gone to a place and there's no trespassing signs. You get up in there and you're talking. We don't want you to come in. The next thing you know, we're going through the whole house.
It's good talking with them, and
And
it's
it's person to
It
person
is. It's
kind of
person to
thing,
person.
It may, you know, I asked, but I
It's
thought it
like
was
the
kind of,
census.
but it's an important one.
It
It's
is.
kind of more,
It is. We
because
have a
you will
really
run
good
into it. I
relationship with
know.
our township building. We don't have very many people that don't allow us in. And
I couldn't get
and
in
we
touch
did
with
have
the
that three or
timing,
four that
and
didn't.
that's what was
And
saying.
it's the same thing. They know us. They just call them up and ask them, and
If they'll sit down over the phone or in the meeting here for a conversation where, we got this, here's your sketch. Here's the square footage. Does this make sense to you? The bathroom counts correct, or the bedroom counts correct? Do you have a basement? Do you have finished? If they answer those questions, that's really all you really need. It's really what you need.
Basically, the way the program works. is, you put in a square footage in a quality in no matter what house it is, it comes up with the same price. I mean, it's a program. So if you go to 24 by 24 house and it looks run down, well, it's a poor quality. And if you go to 25 by 24 house, but it's really brand new and all nice, it comes up with a comparable price, but at a good quality. So.
Okay. We're much better off working with people than we are against them. Outside, we at our staff meetings, we talk about it all the time. The more people we talk to, the better off everybody is. It behooves them to let us go through, and it behooves us to have a good conversation, good relationship with people as well.
And there's a question, may I ask, about lakefront property versus there was specifics on somebody was might be well versed on lakefront property. Is that the differential, or does that matter? Since we're, and how do you look at it, or how are you knowledgeable about it? How qualified are you to do lakefront property in the Northeast Kingdom? That's the question, I guess.
So I've led the reappraisal for Joe's Pond. For Newark, they have two ponds. I just did Lake Seymour this year. I'm doing Echo Lake this
Okay, so you
year.
have a
I've
lot
done
comparables.
UTG, so I've done Averill Lakes. They're all different. They really
Greensboro?
are. Have not done
We're
Greensboro.
getting ready.
They're on
We're
the
getting ready
list
to
though.
do.
Greensboro is the most when we do comparables and we can't find comparable, we always go look to Greensboro first. That seems to be the closest to.
Plus, we've done Lake St. Catherine, we've done Bomazene, we've done
Yeah.
Lake Champlain, we've done. So I'll put it to you this way. We've done more lakefront properties than everybody else in the state combined.
And is a lakefront property, regardless of what lake it's on? Or does Lake Willoughby change that?
Lake Willoughby has their own lakefront values, which is not the same as
Echo.
Echo.
How do you compute that though? How do you say Lake Willoughby has a different?
Look at the sale.
That's how. Okay.
But everything we do is based upon the sales. I mean,
Okay.
just we don't make anything up.
It's called
That's what I
fair
wanted
market
to know
how you
it.
got to the point. Okay, by real life.
By whatever the sales tell us to do.
We look at sales for 3 years.
Okay.
Past 3 years.
You now what repeat that? I went right over. I got hearing
Oh,
aids and
sorry.
you did sales for well, 3 years.
Look over a 3-year time frame.
That's what I thought it was.
In
Yeah, you don't
Westport.
just look over one, you go back 3 years.
Right.
The other question would be is you got the lake frontage. This is the diverse town, so you've done a lot of diverse towns, so I'm really not too worried about that part of it. We had an appraisal come in one time, and they got halfway through the appraisal, and that was it. They were gone. They couldn't finish. We
Really?
had to hire another appraiser to come in and take over
Why?
because we had farms at that point in time. We had farms, and we had the lake frontage. We had the houses, and
What was their specialty? I don't even I
they
know
didn't.
I've heard
The
that
farms, they
word.
couldn't. They couldn't. They, the farms were,
They couldn't do farms?
they couldn't do the farms. I mean, they didn't know how to do them. They're large. They're different. They're totally. And I'm quite sure you understand it.
I just did Irisburg this year, so they have the big farms, Airport Road and so forth. And we had some sales there, so we may look at that if you have big
We've
farms.
done Fairfield. Fairfield's all big
Fairfield's all
farm.
farms.
We've done Bridport and Shoreham, which that's all of us. And lakefront.
Well, that's interesting because most of our farms aren't farms anymore.
No,
Oh
you don't
yeah.
have. We only have one farm really active. Well, other than maybe
One
Isaiah.
dairy.
Isaiah's got a small farm, but
Yeah, there's small farms, but
up on Hinton Hill.
no,
No farms up
the
there.
farm.
Just Lake Views.
Well,
Oh.
back when I live in Calais, we're
Talk
doing
about that was a
Calais
job
this
because
year.
they wouldn't
We have
let
4 lakes in
they would
Calais,
never let us
and they're all different.
they would
Every
never let us
one
go
of
in there.
them.
No, you mean the
Yeah,
new
I'm
people
familiar
that
with
bought it,
Calais.
they came
I had
in
relatives down there.
first with to the grievance.
It's a
And we
great little
said,
town.
well, if you let us go, in we can look at it. And it was a big job.
Farms are hard to do. They really
Be
are.
right here, not
But
not the Hinton people.
the
No,
philosophy's still the same,
no,
probably.
lacrosse, lacrosse.
You
Yeah,
know
just
what? You know how much they are per acre.
right here,
But
which is
there are
not
a
helpful.
lot, not a lot of sales in farms. That's
You know,
probably the
and,
hardest thing.
the nice thing about farms is that the farm sales are more global than something like a lakefront piece of property, because people are going to buy farms, know what they are, know what they're going to pay. And they're going to either do that in Charleston or Westmore or Newark or Newport
Irisburg.
Town or Irisburg. What they know what it's going to be. They know what to expect to pay for all that
Yeah.
stuff. And it really is sort of regional from that perspective.
Okay.
It's different along Lake Champlain. It's also different along the Connecticut River Valley. The prices per acre there are just a little bit different. But I think about it, a huge farm I had to do down in Bridport, probably about 300 acres, and they had, for example, like 1,200 feet on Lake Champlain and homestead and four other houses. Well, it's a big farm, but you still aren't going to value. You're going to value that as farmland, even though it may be along the lakefront. It's still farmland. That's how it's being used. It's enrolling current use. That's what they're going to pay on, and how what the use value is for all that stuff. So you don't necessarily value that 1,200 front feet as lakefront. It's because you're still valuing it as farmland. It only makes sense, right?
Can I ask a question about BCA? And I haven't been through a reappraisal, so I don't know. Do you sit in on a tax appeal or anything, or it goes to the
The grievance.
listers? Yeah, well, the grievance and then a tax assessment appeal,
Right.
which comes,
We're around to
maybe.
help out.
Okay.
I think Gene agrees with this. We think that grievance is really the function of the listers, because they're the town
Correct.
representatives, right?
Yeah.
Will be your help. And BCA is sort of the same
You
thing.
would be there to help
We'd be there to
for
help.
the lister
Yes,
grievance the
yeah,
first
yeah.
round.
And
Because
then
I
if
mean,
it comes to BCA.
there's assessment numbers that you came up with,
Right, we're
right?
defending the our
Right.
values that we came
That's
up
why.
with,
That's
and
also why we do
no,
the pre-hearings.
yeah.
So,
I totally agree with
you
that.
know,
I
from
yeah.
for pre-hearings, what do you don't even have to be here for those, because we're just
Yep.
here to answer people's questions.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, listener's grievance is a 15-minute block.
I've cut the grievances down 80% by doing
Yep.
that. Oh, no, I do it every year. If you get a change in a assessment, I send you all the work and ask if you have any questions before grievances. So, and it's cut down on grievances 80%.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, and how closely do you work with the listers? I mean, what do you expect from the listers?
I expect absolutely nothing. But we hope that you're
What do you
involved.
hope?
Because I've walked into projects and the listener's going to be, we're going to help, we're going to help. They never show up. So I have to assume, literally have to assume, that we're going to do it all. And if that doesn't happen, that's great. You can be as involved as you want to be. It's
I'd like
up
to
to
think my team is going to be very involved.
you.
So, I don't know the
Go,
pricing.
Bill. Yeah, Bill's got to leave.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Indoor golfing today?
No, that was
All
yesterday.
right.
Today's doctor.
Well, we'll see you when you're done.
By the time we get back from St. Jay, you guys will probably be done.
Oh,
Oh, I'll come back this way, but
okay.
not promising anything.
Thanks.
That's
I
what
know
you
that's
guys
what
need
I was
to.
thinking.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Oh, the pricing. So does the fact that you assume they'll do nothing, like, is it all block pl price? Is that included in your pricing
Yeah,
that you do everything?
I assume that anything that the listers provide is all just gravy.
Okay.
Let's say you're going out and work with James, bring your running shoes. He literally runs from house to house, house.
Yeah.
And if you can't keep up, he'll leave
Then he's gonna leave.
That's how he works. That's how he works.
You just make sure
Gene
to take
and I are
that
probably a
guy.
little slower.
Hello,
A little better pace.
Yeah, I know a guy like that too, so. A surveyor.
That,
He'll put him on the ground and he goes, shoop.
yep, that's
yeah.
they know what they're doing, they know what it takes to get done. That's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. No.
And we all try to get all of our site visits done before this it starts snowing. So we know how many we need to visit. So we have so much time. That's our motivation to move fast.
Yeah, we map it all out. We pretty much know what it takes to get. We've done so many of these over the years, and
Yeah.
we just know what it takes. We'd like to be done by Thanksgiving if possible. I don't like pictures in the snow, and it's hard to get around. We're finishing up Warren right now. And quite frankly, part of it was just the data was absolutely horrific. So we're trying to fix really, really bad data and no pictures and things like that. It just takes a lot of time. And so they're finishing up the last 50 like this week. And I feel bad that they're out there doing this, but
Cold.
it's cold.
No,
But
really.
I've got seven people out finishing it up. We'll be done this week. So even though it's a big project, 3,500 properties, we're going to get them all done. We are.
I do have one question. How many parcels do you have enrolled in current use?
Of around 40.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. And so we're not responsible for current use. However, we do need to talk with you about it because when we're setting values like the enrolled farm buildings and so forth, it's good just to keep the data good and clean
Yep.
like that. And when we're finished with the values, we like to get current use done very quickly. So
Yep.
we'll work with you on that, but it's not actually part of the contract.
Yeah.
We've mentioned Fairfield. They have 220 parcels in current use. It
Wow.
took a month to do it.
Yeah.
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 They just
That's
have a lot
fine.
of sugar bush and
Yeah.
to
Yeah.
deal with, and they're all enrolled,
Yep.
and
Yeah.
they're big farms. They're big farms. And we're doing about Berkshire now.
Berkshire's next
Ha
year,
has the
too.
biggest farm in the state of Vermont.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
No,
So,
what Berkshire?
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, where's that one located?
What's the guy's name?
Next to Richford.
Saint Pierre.
Saint
Saint
Pierre.
Pierre.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
So there
I'll
are,
see you
I'm
on.
a retired dairy
I was
farmer.
gonna
There
say,
are
okay.
56 outbuildings on this property.
Oh,
Wow.
wow.
Yeah.
I think it was six houses and 56 outbuildings. They have a new energy generation system that's going in place
Oh, yeah.
there. It has to be, I'm not sure if they have robotic milkers yet. I'm not sure. They must.
I almost thought they had a rotary.
I think that they do.
Like Nelson has in Irisburg
Yeah,
there.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And Lawson.
Yeah, Lawson's got one too.
I did the first one down in
Yeah.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
I did
Clark
Lawson
Hinsdale had
too.
one. If you knew
Oh, yeah.
Clark,
I've heard of
Clark
it.
had the first one down
Yeah.
there. And
Yeah.
it was pretty interesting. Clark was a character, if we knew Clark or not, but he
I
was a
didn't know
character.
him, but I knew the farm, and they
Yeah.
were very well managed.
That place just sold again for 3.3 million, I think. Of course, the barn is spectacular. It's a classic New England barn, farm barn. But they had the milking portion, it was an add-on to that, separate from that. I'm an old dairy. I was a herdsman for a dairy farmer for when I was a teenager. I showed cattle. All my sons all
Oh, so you
did.
got a background in that
Oh
too.
yeah, I'd go from fair to fair to fair all over central Indiana and Illinois. His claim to claim, his guy's name was Noel Nicholson. He had Jersey herd. He had the grand champion cow in the country back in 1959. There's a picture of him taking his cow in the elevator in Chicago. We're all finished. Yeah.
Oh.
He was a character. He was a character.
Okay, anything?
I guess there's some questions if
You do?
you
Go
allow
ahead,
me.
Marianne.
Thank you.
Don't be, just
Well,
burp
I
right
you too, but
we could stick
some
to
of
the
the
subject.
material we received preliminary to your appearance had been redacted. One was the cost.
Right, because the policy for the town is to take a sealed bid, and I didn't get the bid from the
Heather. Oh yes,
Of course,
Spencer. And so I felt it was only fair to read it.
Well, could you now give us an estimate
It was
for?
81,000, I believe.
Sorry,
81,000.
81,000. Okay, in your timeline.
This is going to be finished up in 2031.
How many years? Yeah, are you going to
We'll
be involved?
start in July 2029.
So,
my golly.
We are
Everybody needs reappraisals.
full, completely full through 2030.
July 29, you think?
We'll start July 29th. Sorry.
In your pay schedule,
2020,
which I
no.
know is important to John.
It's just a monthly rate.
It's oh, it wasn't here. Sorry, I remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the other question. You mentioned field work, of course, on the ground. There was paperwork, office work. How many staff will be involved in this project?
However many it takes.
Well, there's both of you, I assume.
Well, there's
And no, from your end, not from our end. Your
probably I'd say 3 to 4.
okay.
And if I need to bring in 10, I will. If I need to bring in 20, I will.
So that's over 3 years,
Over
give or
2 years.
take.
We're going to get it done.
And all of your
Wait, 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years.
29.
Yes, sir.
So you will start
It's a
then in
deadline.
27?
No.
The project ends in 2031.
Yes.
So
So
we'll
we'll start in
start
29.
29.
29, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
And
Thank
all of
you.
your staff are certified.
Yes.
Vermont.
We have the best staff in the state. I don't care who you're talking about. We have the best staff in the state. They are the best, without question. I tell
Okay.
them that every day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like you're pretty flexible on your how you do things. In other
Yeah.
words, if you get to a point where you need more, you'll bring more people in.
This is our
Oh,
own.
absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Huh? Go
So
ahead.
I sorry, I was started to interrupt you.
Well, the state, when you're doing your RA-308 form, RA-308 form, they want to know what the staff is going to work in the project. I just sent them the whole staff. I sent them all 25 people. I said, because anybody can work any place at any time. And hopefully, I'm going to have to bring up Darcy from Granville, New York. But if I need to, I will. But Jean's here, and James and Marla are here. Kaylee's somewhat close by. I expect we're going to hire probably two more people coming up for March. I'm not sure where they're going to be. Allison could be up for some of that stuff as well. So I like to keep, we like to have people sort of stayed in the general area they're going to be working in, sort of
Somebody else.
save the time and money for
Is
everybody.
that Jeremy?
Ted Nelson?
Nelson.
Yep. He's the Vermont professor. Well, he's in the meeting, so. Is it? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Hi, Ted. Can you hear me? Apparently not.
I
Sorry
can.
for
I can hear you.
This is Mary. I just was saying hi.
Hi, Mary. I just wanted to make sure this is working. I'm not nearby, so would you like me to zoom out and come back in 20 minutes?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome to stay if you want, but.
No, that's fine. You talk with the folks at NEMEC, and Jordan and I are ready at 11.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
What else?
I was just gonna, when I interrupted you, I was gonna ask something, now I forgot. It'll come to me when you leave.
So, do you go by certain areas, like you would take care of all of Hinton Hill and the roads off that and do it kind of like that? And then, how you said you send out postcards to notify people you're going to be there. And how
Sorry.
soon do they get those postcards to know that you're coming, like a week, 2 weeks, some ahead of time? Do you have any, I mean, is there any set time that
you want to talk, so let's talk about like the whole communication about the reappraisal. So first, when we start, before we start it, we put a note in your town report just saying the town's going to be undergoing a reappraisal. You'll be getting a notice in the mail. We can
Mm.
put something in the tax bills before we start going out and visit. Usually postcards go out at least a week before we start a certain area. Depending on how much staff will be here, we'll send out anywhere between 40 and 100 postcards. And that means we'll be covering that area within the next month. So those people
Okay.
can then call and make an appointment if they'd like, you know, if they're only home certain times, but it lets them know that we're coming. So when we knock on the door, you know, it's not a complete surprise to them. If they're not home, also we leave a card on every door. So, and on that card, they can call again to make an appointment. They can also look online. There's a code that we leave for their specific house. So they can actually check their data online. If they're not people that don't want to call or talk, they can check and see, oh yeah, the bedrooms, bathrooms, square footage. That's the big thing that we want to make sure. So there's a number of ways that we try to communicate and get the information correctly and talk with them. So,
This thing is called online property data verification.
yeah.
So they can actually go after a couple of weeks, they can go and actually see their data.
Yeah.
And they
That
can
was part of
communicate
the
back and
notice.
forth with us. If they want to say, well, the bedroom count's wrong, they can send it back to us. We can change it. They can call, send that back, and also make an appointment online to do that as well. Yeah. So we get to see, have some interaction with them.
So by be actually being a software company, it's really nice because we can throw the data up there. You know, we write programs, the data's up there. And then after we visited everybody, the data comes down, we set the values, and then we put it all back up there again. So when they get their booklet, their notice of their new value, they can then go online and look at their data again, and it includes their value. But they can also look at anybody's data in town. So we're going to have everybody's property record card online. So then they can compare theirs to their neighbors and so forth. So that usually takes a lot of the anxiety out of it. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, my value doubled, but so did everybody else's. So, right, you know,
So
so.
does your bid include you pay for the postcards, you're what,
No, you pay for
right?
postage.
I know where the listers are responsible for mailing and mailing the booklets.
Well, the booklets are, so we've been working with People Graphics for about 10 years, and I've got a company to take a look at what they've done. But so I send them the data, all the information for the booklets, and then they reformat the report, and they put the mailing addresses on the report, and then they do the postage, and then they mail. You don't have to do anything except answer the phone when the phone starts ringing.
Right.
You need to send them a check.
They like to get paid for it.
Yeah.
They like to get paid as well,
Yeah.
but they just provide a really nice service. They do a quick check of the addresses, make sure there's closest you can get. You know, you can't get them all right. But then they just handle everything for you. I've had towns try to think they're going to do it on their own. It doesn't make any sense financially.
Oh,
It
really?
just doesn't.
Yeah. I saw the booklets. Oh, I owned a property in Sutton when you did.
Yeah.
Read
Okay.
something. So
Yeah.
yeah, I saw the booklets, and I was like, oh wow, this is good, because I think we last reappraisal we did them ourselves.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, I know in Hinesburg several years ago, we finished a reappraisal there, and they thought they would save time and money by doing it themselves. Well, of course, Hinesburg's, over 2,000 properties. They spent about 4 or 5 days, just getting the reports and putting them together and put stickers on them,
Yeah.
putting the labels on them, putting them, sorting them in the right order, getting them back out. And then we just did it last year, and they realized that it was
Yeah.
silly.
And keep in mind that the listers still have their job to do. You know, they just still have to keep up the grand list, that the old grand list, and the current use. We still have to do our job.
Yeah.
Transfers. Yep. Property transfers. Yep.
So they provide a nice service for the little
Yeah.
deer. They do.
And I think it's very affordable. It really is not that
Well, I know
expensive.
that, Town of Middlebury had to go out to bid when we did that 2 times ago. And they put in, there were like five companies that bid on that project, and they're always the cheapest. They always are. So they always get to win the contracts. And most towns don't even question them anymore. At most towns, they do most town reports for most towns in the state as well. So they're
Right.
pretty familiar with this. They are.
So, speaking of transfers, we just got our CLA. It's not good. It's 59. Yeah.
It's not surprising. When was the last reappraisal?
2015.
2015.
But it held out,
Yeah.
it held out until last year. So, but we did go over our, and we didn't have many sales before COVID. And it held out, but we did have to go through our sales with a fine-tooth comb, and to try to keep that number up there. But hate to tell you guys, but they were expecting what is it, a 12% increase in taxes this year,
Well, they're
educational.
going to buy it down.
Yeah.
They've already found 75 million. They're going to find another 25 million.
It's gonna be,
Oh
if
yeah. Oh yeah.
it's average gonna be go up 12%, then it's gonna be well over 15% for
I tell you,
us.
it's going to be six though. But that only be able to buy it down to about 6%. And they have to deal with this at some point in time. Also, there's going to be a big transition in the future in terms of how reappraisals are being completed. Now we're going to go to a 6-year cycle. Every town will reappraise over a 6-year cycle instead of one. How that's going to be done physically, that's still in question. I
Really?
sit on that committee.
Right.
What I can say is, this education committee that was supposed to get the maps together for the legislature came to the conclusion that what they're proposing wasn't going to work. Well, I'm on the other side of that, the appraisal side of that group, and we came to the same conclusion as to what the legislature gave us to do wasn't going to work. So I'm anxious to see what they propose, given that there are two groups to deal with this issue, getting with what the legislature wanted done. I don't know how it's going to work out. We'll just have to wait and see. But what they were proposing was to have a reassessment district be a county, for
Right.
example. And
So in 6 years, in 6 years from 30, 31, when we get reassessed, we would be reassessed with Essex County.
And combined with Orleans.
Right.
So Orleans and Essex were combined into one assessment district by the legislature. So that came out to about, I forget what the number was, 20,000,
So when
18,000 properties along those lines.
You're looking at doing that as a reappraiser, do you still look at Westmore just as Westmore and the individual towns, just as individual
You
towns?
have to.
I was gonna say, I can't see any other way to do it because, like you said, a property on Lake Memphregate, Magog, and Lake Willoughby in Derby Pond, they're all waterfront, but they aren't. They
Well,
aren't.
I've done testimony to the legislature for the last 3 years, and one thing I tell them consistently is that geography matters. It really does. And I don't think they really appreciate that not only is every town unique, but as you know, within every town, there's unique little areas as well. It's like I say in Cal's, I got four lakes. Well, they aren't the same. They are not the same.
No, but that's why the I don't know, the process includes these sort of universal attributes that one goes on. For instance, you've got Derby Pond or Lake Willoughby here. How many feet from such and such? How much shoreline? Those kind of things which are to be universal rather than particular.
But
You
the
know what I
rates are
mean?
different. The rates are
Yeah.
different, though.
The what?
The rates, how you apply the rates to get the value is not the same.
How
The
you
market's
apply the
different.
rate to different values.
The markets are not the
Wow.
same.
Well, it's like going from a mud puddle to a clean
Right.
one.
Right. So
Right.
yeah, the cost per foot on Lake Willoughby is obviously worth a lot more than the,
Newark Pond.
yeah. Why so? Because the sales, the what? Sales.
Sales.
Oh, sales.
Right.
It's all
Right.
based on value.
Determine the value. Is
Isn't that
that right,
right, Holmes?
folks?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
That's how
Sales
it's done,
per,
based upon the sales, what the market says.
Okay.
And the market says Lake Willoughby is
Right.
special.
Yes,
Lake
it is. We all think it is too.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
And if we go to sell, we think it is, but
But if
living
we
here,
live
don't think
here
it is.
on the lake.
You know, I've
Yeah.
done Maidstone six times, and
That's
see, Maidstone's a special little lake
so
too.
yeah.
It really is.
Just
You literally used to, you
incredible.
can jump in there and start drinking the water
Yeah.
back in the old days. And the transition in values of Maidstone Lake in the last 30 years have just been phenomenal. Just phenomenal. You can literally buy a lot on Maidstone Lake back when the lumber company owned the land for $40,000. That same lot today would be probably $250. I mean, it's just changed that.
So it is sales which determines the value.
That's the whole
Oh,
thing.
yeah. I thought that, there was
And then the whole.
defined attributes which would be considered regardless of actually
Well, the
location, but
characteristics is the same from place to place, but the market values are different.
so this one, the sales, what about restrictive things that are on deeds? Do you get into that?
if we know what they are.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's restrictive, there's certain things that are in a deed that might alter the value of the land.
Sometimes it can, sure.
Yeah. Like if
Yeah.
someone has a
See,
right of way through
conservation
their front
easement,
yard,
a
they use,
conservation
yeah.
easement.
Conservation easement is a big deal. That's,
Right.
yeah.
Yeah.
And these are things that they are readily available,
For me,
from the old data.
yeah.
Yeah.
Your
So
existing data was
we
yeah.
try
Yeah.
to keep up with everything. So they weren't necessarily looked at before. Actually, that's been my overall task since I've been here, is to make sure that was all noted in the notes, anything like that. Right of ways, restrictions.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm trying to, that's what I that's my winter task too. I mean, now I obviously have several years before the reassessment, but I'm really trying to update all the data so that it will. So,
Something to start taking a look at,
yeah.
especially for the reappraisals, the land in two towns.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. We find that. And I don't know that's your files. I have no idea.
Yeah, no,
But
we have, we, yeah. Yeah, we have not that many actually.
we've had a lot of towns. We've gone and done projects, and we found they had nothing coded correctly for land in two towns. But all of a sudden, you find that there's 30 of them. It really changes how you value that property. But the sum of the parts can't be greater than the whole.
Right.
So that's really what it amounts to. And
I
that's,
just came across that actually
yeah.
just recently, and I thought the same thing, and I was like, wait a minute, so, and I had to go back and look. I think it's three properties in particular. I had to go back and look and say, okay, this is 80 acres, but the whole parcel is 230
Right,
acres.
right.
Yeah, and you have to take that into
So
account.
what you do is you
What a
value the
learning
8 acres
lesson.
at the 230 acre rate. And the land values build up on a curve.
Yeah.
So the more you have, the less per acre, as you're well
Oh, yeah.
aware. So you're going to value the 80 acres in your town at that 230 acre rate, because it really is that big. So that's how you get the value. So it makes a big difference in what the final value is.
Yep. Wow.
There's a lot of nuance in what we do. A lot of little things you have to understand and be aware of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if it's all about the money sets the value,
Yeah.
we're talking sales.
Even if
But there
sales.
were some, universal attributes which could be assigned to properties, but I was wrong.
So I just want a tower. So we have four radio towers now. Well, we're going to have four. We have three radio towers in town. And went right over my head that I
Cell
was
towers
supposed
or radio towers?
cell towers.
Okay.
But went right over my head that I was supposed to assess someone last year. And so I just have a question, that question for you. How, you know, I looked how to assess them and it just gave me an income approach. And I couldn't find anything else but an income approach. And it's not fair because we have one radio tower that the people paid, they just took the cost up front. And they're just so there's they're different scenarios, you know, because the people have contracted with the tower so differently. And you're looking at me, so I'm
Are you talking about the land underneath of the tower? Do they
so
do does the tower company own the land, or is the land
no,
lease?
it's
Leased?
leased.
Okay, so that's one value, is the property owner on the land, and then the value of the radio tower itself.
It's physical
So as
the
long as it's
physical
not owned by a cell company, if it's owned by a cell company, you can't assess it. So you have to determine that is it American Tower? You have to determine the ownership of it. We can talk.
I'm gonna say,
I'm Gina at
I was just gonna
Marcus.com.
say, hey,
Hit me
maybe
up.
I'll call you. Actually,
Not a problem. Just email me.
Deanna more than once has said, call
Well,
Gina.
and she's doing the commercial stuff now, so
Oh,
she's the
right.
one
Yeah,
that
well,
should tell
she,
you.
I asked her the other day. I said, oh my God, I can't just figure it. I just can't figure this out. Like, and she said, she was, of course, this time of year, she's busy. So I was supposed to send her an email and she was going to get back to me about it. So,
So there's
obviously.
two different pieces to it. So
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna have to wind down.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You've answered a lot of questions, right?
Well, if you get more, let me know.
Good.
Something comes up, got a question, just shoot me an email.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got my email address.
Yep, I do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're
Yes,
welcome.
thank you.
So this. Yes.
Afterwards.
I'm gonna try and do this so you can see him because David.
I know. I was gonna say, do you want me to hook that second screen up? Oh, sorry.
Well, I don't have the wire.
Here we go.
There you go. You follow you?
I know if I check that right there, we get on right there.
That's why I moved.
Yes.
Do I hear you say we're going to have three cells in the town?
Yeah, well, we got three now. We're going to get one more, right?
No, we got it now.
We got there's one on
Can do.
the farm,
Safe
the
travels.
land,
I speak too often about
and there's
one of your slops, please.
Yep, yeah, that's the new one,
What's
and then
that?
there you said there were three. And
Okay.
where's the third one? We have three. I can't even think of where the third one is.
Really?
Isn't there one?
Yeah.
No.
On Hinton. Where's the third one? Not on
Oh my gosh.
Hinton.
So
Coles.
she years
Coles have
ago when
one.
she was working at Northwoods,
When did that
I
happen?
developed it.
Oh,
Yeah. She
been over
actually
there years and years.
said,
Okay, so that one
no,
and the other one, right. Okay. I
yeah.
just thought I had
So
missed another.
Tower and Wayne.
Good one. She's been considered through the years in different for different reason, not just because it's got a tower. Right.
Don't
Do you have water? Do you have a drink?
Like for 2 years, people like very soon.
Sorry, I think I have pneumonia.
At your house, it's
You all right?
obviously
After this,
concerned.
I'm going to
Like
the
people are
hospital.
You're going to what?
I'm going to the hospital after this.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Or are you just joking?
No, I am. I'm sick.
It's really
I just
small.
broke my
But they were
foot.
all really good people. I think it was just
I think you have dogs.
Yeah, I think we
Yeah,
had a
gosh.
dog.
Yeah, a dog.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make that. I don't know how to change that.
Isn't that a boy?
Yeah. He got us up here sometimes.
Awesome. Well, please don't hesitate to call if you have any questions or anything about it.
That's pretty great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Safe travel on the roads out there.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. That's funny. Everybody knows, and also Ben, what another one? The two old nobody there that's calling me. Not even.
We're gonna get David a bell round two.
I mean,
pardon me.
We'll get David a bell round two.
Well, that was very interesting.
Yep.
The meeting is still.
Yep.
But just pausing.
David, they're going to get you a bell, one of those bells like they had for their wrestling matches.
Oh, you know, I see one of them. I see one when they get it.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's the name of this group.
Right, the cowbell with a handle on it.
Yeah.
Vermont Appraisal Company.
Yeah, right at Tractor Supply. I was thinking about getting into my woodpecker.
Woodpecker, right? Is in the air.
Oh, the woodpecker moved.
He's starting to eat the soot now, Marion.
Pardon me?
The woodpecker's starting to eat the soot now.
Did you put suet out with that the term? Somebody else told me that too. Maybe it was Claude who said.
Well, you know,
yesterday he just went on and on, banging.
He was at your place yesterday too.
Oh yes.
He was at my place too.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a brother.
He's got a brother.
Is that at your place?
No.
Oh, you guys don't have this problem of packing.
Oh. You know the thing with it is, Marion.
I thought it was this guy.
Where I put this stuff up, it almost took him 2 weeks to find it. The soot.
Yeah.
And then the Blue Jays.
I'll try it too.
Blue Jays immediately. But the Blue Jays, if he wants it, they don't mess with it.
You want to hear the next thing?
What?
Dan just said that Sander.
Yes.
That was involved.
Remember? Okay.
That was involved in the accident. $2,918.79.
So that wasn't included in the It was not?
No, that was just for the building.
Yeah, I didn't because it's still the same meeting. Yeah.
So we're ready.
Well, Jordan is here, but I think there was another.
Yeah,
he's gonna be on Zoom.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
I didn't know that. That's why I tried to set that up for you to see.
Okay, it's the bathroom.
I'm going to start doing this one afterwards, but I don't have the right one. I'm going to
have one of your donuts. Yes, have one of the donuts.
Okay. So, Gordon, can you hear us?
I can hear you, yep.
Okay. Was somebody else?
Yep.
Ted.
Ted is supposed to join. I don't know if he...
joined 20 minutes ago and said he'd be back.
He said he'd be back. Chocolate donut.
Maybe you can make him.
It looks like he texted me. He said he's waiting on Zoom. I don't know if you have to allow him in or not as a host.
Yes, but I don't see him. I don't see him right now in the waiting room. I usually get a message. Okay. Let me see. Jordan, Town of Westmore, Jordan. I don't see him. Yeah, and he did join before, so.
I think he's trying to do it from his phone.
Okay.
He was, I think, out of town during the meeting, so I don't know that he has a laptop with him.
Okay.
Jordan,
Yeah.
this is Mary. Hi.
Hi.
You're going to be the one that heading this project anyway, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Say that again.
You're going to be the one that's heading this project
Yeah,
if.
correct. Yeah, Ted, I think Ted will be doing supervising part of it and also doing some data collection. And then I'll be doing the rest and maybe one other of our data collectors coming up and doing some work.
So this select board here is here. I'm just going to introduce you to
Sure.
everybody. There's David Stevens, who has been on the select board forever. Miriam Stevens and Isaiah
Casey.
Casey. I can't believe I didn't know you. And the town clerk is here, Elaine.
Ashes.
Cash and awesome. And there's two listers here. The third isn't here. Susan Blackstone. I can't remember last names today. And me, Mary Bushy. So that's who is present to in the meeting today.
Okay.
So do you want to get started or should we wait for Ted?
Let's see.
Sorry, let me speak.
I'll give him a call. I can give him a call real quick.
He's Vermont Appraisal Company, and so the
Yeah.
head guy is Ted, or the
Yeah,
but
he's a little better at speaking to the details. I mean, I can overview
right.
kind of our process, but he's obviously
Oh, okay.
done this several more times than I have.
He's going to be the feet on the ground guy. He would be the feet on the ground guy.
Right. Yeah, doing inspections, hopefully as many interior inspections as possible, but we've seen over the last couple of years that's declined. We finished a project, reappraisal in Winooski, and I think we were somewhere around 30% entry into properties. I mean, each town's different, but Winooski is a pretty transient
Really?
community because it's high. It's high rental property, income properties. But yeah, we're right around 30%, I would say. I'm currently in Cambridge doing a full reappraisal there, and it's a little better, maybe 40 to 45% entry into properties. But and same thing in South Hero. South Hero is a good comparison to Westmore because of the a lot of seasonal properties. You've got waterfront, so capturing a lot of those interior inspections is tough because people aren't around year round.
Yep.
And so it makes it tough on us because we've got to do it from the outside, and you obviously can only tell what you can tell from the outside. And condition and quality is a huge portion of value. And so then you get to the grievance process at the end, and it gets a little gummy because everybody comes in, they don't like their value. And there's issues with the property, potential issues with the property, with the interior that we can't see from the outside. And so you kind of get a flood at the end of property owners. But I think probably pre-COVID, your assessors would be getting into closer in two-thirds, three-quarters of properties, if not better. So you get a better sense of what was there.
Right.
And Westmore has zoning, correct?
They do. They don't, they have zoning, but they don't have building zoning, you
Okay.
know. Right.
No, it's cold.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
Well, build right.
Have
and
zoning.
there's
Zoning permits, but not
zoning.
building permits. Yeah.
Which the zoning makes it a little easier. As long as people are filing permits and whatnot, you can kind of glean from that what they've done if they don't let you in the property. right now, Cambridge is a difficult one because they don't have zoning at all. So things have changed quite a bit.
Yep, we have a town near us that doesn't have zoning, and I drive through the town every day, or I did, and it changed weekly. It was amazing, and I often wondered how the listers are, kept up with it.
Yeah, I mean it's a lot of labor to do your rounds, and in Vermont it's not easy because you've got to do it by April 1st. Well, there we have winter, so doing it in the winter is difficult. And you're not going to capture all of it realistically. The main roads are easy. You can whatever you can see from the front, you can capture, but people with long driveways on back roads, class 4 roads can more or less get away with it, and then you're in this inequitable kind of valuation where people whose properties are accurate in what the turn and what the town has for existing data matches, but then somebody off the main road might have doubled the size of their house or added a garage or improved the land or whatever. And so they're not getting taxed proportionally versus everybody else. So kind of the goal of the reappraisals, the full reappraisals, is for us to get everything as accurate as possible, kind of get you back to a level playing field, and then maintain it from there.
So can you give these guys a brief, like a summary of the process from the start to finish?
Yeah, sure. So we have obviously our main goal is to inspect every property, whether it's interior or exterior, come up with fair and equitable values for everybody, fair market value. That's what our goal is. And then leave the town with a maintainable kind of roadmap on how to continue that process and what we've done with physical depreciation, functional economic depreciation, the land schedules. I mean, all that stuff sticks once we set those land schedules. They stick until your next reappraisal. And so we would first and foremost analyze the real estate market data, sales, recent sales, to see what's been happening in the town. Come up with a land schedule based off of that, a depreciation schedule, like I said, physical, which is your wear and tear on a property. If it's been maintained, if it's not maintained, obviously newer properties most likely have less wear and tear. And then you start to get over the 40, 50-year mark, and that's when properties dilapidate a little more unless they're maintained, roof, siding, paint, that kind of stuff. And what would happen is we would break the town down into sections, right? We don't want to be jumping all over the town to do an appointment. Appointments, 10, 15 minutes away from each other. So you'd work a section of town, send letters to those roads in that section. That would be the town would be responsible for that, the listers, identifying the properties on those roads, sending letters out to schedule an appointment with us to come look at the property, whether that's interior or exterior. Obviously we prefer interior, but that doesn't always happen.
And the listers are responsible for the scheduling, right?
Yeah, correct. It adds a little bit of credence to the process where I'm not sure. I think there is another appraisal company that does do the mailings themselves, but I don't know what their rate of responses on that. And it works really well because people see it from the listers. They know the listers. They know the town, instead of just getting it from us, which people would more likely just throw away probably. But yeah, that would come from the town. Schedule, make appointments through the listers, and we would go do those appointments. We're responsible for, obviously measuring, siding, roofing materials, kind of the facts about the building, get all of that, any outbuildings, the typical process that you would do as a lister. And then you basically just break the town down by those sections until you're done, and get all that data into the system. We use you guys use Microsoft through Nemrec, which is, we're well versed in that. Most towns use it. I believe you said it was remote access, which is convenient for us since Ted and I think everybody essentially lives on the western side of Vermont, so it's a little bit of a drive, but we'd be able to work remotely, so we wouldn't have to be in the town every day. And from there, we would have the proposal was to start this May, and being kind of a seasonal town with the waterfront, you have quite a few seasonal properties looking at 411. And it looks like other on your 411. Is that waterfront property?
Yes,
The
it is.
258? Okay, so that's nice. That's broken out. So roughly half of your parcels are seasonal. It looks maybe a little more than half are seasonal.
Yep. Yes. No, that's not true. We have 700 properties. So what would you say? 258 are
Yeah, but then you've got seasonal one and seasonal two, which is about
oh,
90. So you're about half, and then you've got 100 in land. So call it
yeah.
600 parcels, and you've got some that are not taxable. So the goal really is to work, starting this May through the summer, and then end up sometime in the fall. Try and capture all those seasonal properties when people are around. And then restart it in May of next year. So we would propose to be done in June of 2028. And that's when grievance, everybody get their change of appraisal notice. Some towns send out a booklet to everybody that has everybody else's value on it. Some of them just put a PDF online where people can do search it, use it as comps for their property.
Right.
And at the end of that process in June, you'd have your grievances, and that would be, we'd participate in grievances, we would be there for them as part of the contract. And then anything beyond that, which would be your appeals to the BCA, if people aren't satisfied with the grievances or whatnot, we would be prepared to participate in those outside of the contract.
You
And
wouldn't
then avail, oh, go
excuse
ahead.
me. You wouldn't be, you don't participate in the BCA?
No, we would defend the values as part of the BCA meetings,
Did he say
but not
right?
part of the contract. It would be outside the contract, but we would
Okay.
be at the town's discretion if you wanted us to.
Okay. It would be a choice.
Otherwise the listers would do it, which is acceptable too. And available to people during grievances would be sales books, the guidelines we used on depreciation schedules, how we got to values and all of that. And so that's more or less the timeline and the breakdown of how the reappraisal would work.
Yeah, the printing of the book.
The printing of the if we just chose to have a book printed, that would be our responsibility.
Correct. Yep. Think most towns have they'll have a printing company do it, print it, and then the town will receive those back and then mail them out themselves. You've got 600-ish properties probably to mail to. If there's multiple, if there's an owner with multiple properties, realistically they only need one. I know in Cambridge, They are putting out a book, but they're having a print and mail shop do everything, and that's about 2,200 properties, and it's around 5 grand to put it out.
Right. There's Ted. Hi, Ted.
Oh, he's on. You're on mute, Ted.
Sorry, I had some difficulty getting back in.
That's all right. We were going through the process. The process. That's where we were at. Did
Okay.
anyone have any questions? Any other questions?
So, yeah.
Well, I guess expertise on lakefront properties,
Yeah.
or is there a difference between lakefront properties or your expertise, or
They want to, they're asking about your expertise on lakefront properties
Okay.
and
Do you want me to
seafront.
address that, Jordan? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We've been doing lakefront since the Vermont Appraisal Company started. The two people who originated it in the 1980s, 40 plus years ago, Kermit and Tom, got together and saw that there was a relationship in value between the amount of frontage and the depth of the property. And they came up with a matrix that we've been using for years and refining.
The reappraiser.
That's tempered by things like the location of the property and the quality of the water as you go in. You know, if it's weedy or mucky or whatever, it's not worth as much as if it's really clear and sandy beach and so forth. The changes in the market dynamics have caused us to continuously rethink that. And a couple of the recent projects, we've put a lot of the value on the house site, the first 2 acres, because the year-round residents, if it's not part of their house site and they're property poor, if you will, they really get clipped with high values on the lakefront when it comes to the property tax and the state payment for the house in the first 2 acres. You know, it used to be called the subsidy or whatever. And so we've done Bridport from the south to the north on Lake Champlain. Bridport. We've worked in other towns along the lake, Milton, Georgia over the years. We've done 4 out of the 5 towns in Grand Isle County, Lamont, Alberg, North Hero, and South Hero have been done by us, and we're working on South Hero starting. Well, we're working on that now, which has 1,000 properties, and half of them have frontage on the lake. And again, we did, and when we did that in 2019, we adjusted for the characteristics of the water quality as well as the access to the lake, you know, whether it's a cliff, sheer drop, or sandy beach, or somewhere in between. And so we do have a lot of experience, and we also have experience on inland ponds and lakes. We did Groton 2 or 3 years ago, and we've done other towns with substantial water frontage. Greensboro we did, and 2 or 3 times. So it's one of our areas of expertise, along with, you know, ski areas and farms and that kind of thing, forestry land.
What about farmland?
Well, it's
This is David Stevens, so I don't I'm on a select board.
okay. Well, sir, we when Kermit passed, we lost one of our experts in farmland because he worked a lot in Addison and Franklin counties. But I did follow him in some of his reappraisals around St. Albans area, and the town of Sheldon is a big farm town, and we've done that a couple of 3 times in the recent past. And it's remarkable to me what farmland and maple sugar stands have gone for in the last 5, 10 years. They're really priced high if it's good tillable ag land. But we try to look at the whole picture, and the bigger the parcel, the more you would expect to see diversity in the land types, like some pasture land, some woodland, and you may see some wetlands and so forth. So it's rare when you have a farm that's all flat tillable land, especially in Vermont.
Okay.
So, I'm Isaiah Casey. I'm also on the select board. As far as if you have a residence that is refusing you to enter, how do you guys go about your appraisal on a property like that?
We do it in three different ways. We key heavily off of the lister's knowledge of the property owner. If the person is going to put us at risk, our safety, then we do not press the their right to not let us in. If they're somewhat neutral or ambivalent, just not sure. If it's a widow and she is scared or really apprehensive about letting a stranger in her house, then we'll ask one of the listers, maybe Mary, to accompany us if she has the time. And that would make the property owner feel better. Every property owner has a right not to let us in. And we're finding with a combination of COVID and the millennials, Jordan's age group, who own property now, that we're just getting less cooperation. We did the town in preparation of this meeting. I tried to think about examples, and when we did the city of Winooski in 2007, of 2,000 properties, there were five people who said, "You're not coming in," and of course we did not. And if they appeal, then the Board of Civil Authority has the right to go in, or it's considered a withdrawal, and the value is maintained. This time around, for 2024, a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago, we finished the reappraisal of Winooski, and we get into maybe 40% of the properties. And that's a different, in some ways, different than Westmore, in the sense that probably 60% of that is rental or commercial. But there are parallels because you have a lot of second homeowners. And that's why we propose to start in May and have 2 summers to do everything around Willoughby, and do a good job around the lake, as well as, the year-round residents. It's an unfortunate change in our society and our culture and the thinking of property owners with the increased value, cost of property taxes. We're seeing more and more of that kind of thing, and it's we prefer to get in. It's not that we like to go into someone's house, but we think it's our job to try and see what the condition and the quality of the house is on the interior and the exterior, and give a fair overview in terms of those components, which are based on judgment. And the size is easier to peg, unless they have basement finish that you don't see when you're not allowed in, or if it's a Cape style house, for example, you can get knee walls that are 6 or even 8 feet. So the second floor is a lot smaller than you would expect if it were a standard Cape with 4 to 6 foot knee walls. And we wouldn't know that if we don't get in. And we explain that to the property owner. And they have to take the chances that we are doing, we're being fair and accurate as much as possible. But some people think they're smarter than we are, and they play games with us, or cat and mouse, whatever you want to call it. If they have a good sense of humor, we tell them, You know, we have a great imagination and we can use it on their house, but we don't want to. But generally, we try to be straight with them and encourage them to let us in and engage the listers if it's a situation where someone is has a fragile immune system or is very sensitive to outsiders, if you will.
Mary, you got questions?
No, I don't, sir.
You don't have any questions?
No
I see you
questions.
got a bunch of writing.
Oh, it's just, you know, dates.
So how do you address,
Thank you.
if at all, short-term rentals?
We're not convinced that there's a huge added value to an Airbnb over a mother-in-law apartment, if you will. We know that they're both more valuable than a single-family home, but we don't know if the Airbnb concept is something that you can peg an additional value on. So we know how it's fit up. If it's a single family home and they rent it Airbnb at part time and use it as a single family home part time, then again, I'm not sure on the waterfront if it's a hugely different creature than someone who holds it as a camp and uses it as a second home or a primary residence, single family detached residence. But we know the use whenever we're aware of it.
Any questions? I mean, I think you've answered a lot of.
Yeah, he answered the meetings.
Yep. How much participation the listers have in the process. And
The timing, he answered that.
Timing, so
You folks covered the fact that we want the listers involved in every step that they're willing to participate in. Okay, that's great.
Yep, we did.
Again, I apologize for coming in late. Technology is you can see my gray hair or loss of hair. It's not my strong point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I can't think of any more questions that you between the two of you've pretty much gone through the whole thing and answered a lot of questions.
And it sounds like they would access the cloud information
Yeah.
because you said you could rework work remotely and access what you needed.
Yes.
Yeah,
Some of
and
the
what.
information is strictly in your land records, we would try to confirm that the descriptions are accurate to the best of our ability, land sizes, frontage on the lake, and so forth. And that's requires pick and shovel work right at your offices. And of course, the site visits are, boots on the ground that we're prepared for. But the cloud use in any software has changed the frontier in how you do data entry and review and that kind of thing.
So you use, in other words, you've used Nimerick.
We have used Nimerick's Microsoft CAMA, and
Yeah, that's what you use.
we're familiar with it.
And you talked about the land records and the deeds. So you actually reference those and look at that?
We do, the hierarchy is that surveys are the primary and most reliable piece of evidence on a land shape and size and so forth. We need to make sure it's consistent. One thing that Jordan and Tom or Vickery are going through in Cambridge is treating everybody the same in terms of whether the right of way is included in the parcel size. And it's been a tremendous amount of work for for these gentlemen and the listeners to change the inconsistencies in the mapping practice. And we want to make sure that that happens in Westmore as well, if you select us to do the job.
It's important, that right of way.
As you probably know, a three-rod road is 50 feet, so 25 feet of depth times, on a 10-acre parcel can add up if that's included in the land size. So that's something.
I think, I would kind of guarantee that all our right-of-ways are treated the same.
That's great.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. And so do you, what about, what did you call it, David? You asked the question before. I'm at a loss for words today.
Yes.
Variances on.
Land that has, in other words, you're talking about the land that has got some encumbrance on it as far as
deed restrictions.
Okay. The deed restrictions are based upon the creativity of the person that holds that restriction. They used to have a thing called a deferral permit from Act 250. And, we might recognize that site value at a very low rate because they'd have to go back to Act 250 to get approval to develop it. Act 250 no longer, from what I understand, issues deferral permits. But if someone has an encumbrance on a neighbor's land, it may or may not impact value. Sewer easement, for example, if it's right in front of someone, the next door neighbor's camp on the lake, and that's the only place that the person could find it and the neighbor agreed to it and it's going to be a mound system that blocks their view. If it's ever exercised, then I think the person who has the encumbrance has a good point that might adversely impact value. Conversely, if it's a easement to get to a property through another, and it really doesn't have any bearing on the use of the property that the easement's over, we may not see any, if you call it diminution or reduction in the value of the land. Really depends on the circumstances, and we take them one at a time and try to be fair and recognize it if it does negatively impact the value. If it positively impacts the value, then we assign that value to the person that holds the encumbrance. For example, if someone has a 20-foot right-of-way to Willoughby, and the person there over, that 20-foot is over, has 100 feet, we typically, historically, would put 80 feet to the person that owns that 80 feet in fee, and recognize the 20 foot as pretty much unrestricted, again, depending on how the deed's written, but unrestricted access to the water, which has value, so it depends upon the encumbrance and what the restrictions are, how it's written. And we do look at that and try to reflect that in the value.
Is that written in your appraisal so it would be understandable, a situation like that?
Yes, we would note it if there's some reason why it's not a straightforward value. Like, take, for example, the person that has 100 feet of frontage and they've given their brother or their son or their sister 20 feet or 20-foot right-of-way, we would put on both property records that there's 20-foot right-of-way and that the 20 feet that the person who owns the other 80 holds, it would be in their notes, and the one who has the access to the lake.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was.
What a fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things was the current use.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, current use.
Yes.
And conservation easement.
And conservation
Yep.
influence.
So how do you handle current use?
We try to set the records up so that the listers can do it as easily as possible. In our agreement, we look at current use and also the homestead declaration process as something that may have an impact on the value. Like say they put 30% business use or they're enrolled in current use. It may have an impact on value, but it's not to the core of what we're doing, which is the reappraisal. So we assist the listers, but we generally do not participate in that aspect of the annual property valuation administration. So we don't generally do the current use for the town when we do a reappraisal. If that's something that you insist that we do, then we'll include that in our proposal that we give to you by, I guess, the end of the month. But the listers have been doing it for years, and we trust that they understand who's enrolled and who's not. Now, if someone is withdrawn, either voluntarily or involuntarily withdraws part of their property, we do work with the listers on the appraisal process, especially if we're in the middle of the reappraisal or something like that. If we're in the midst of
Right.
doing that, we'll work with the listers on that valuation requirement. As far as conservation easements, we do recognize that as part of the basic value, especially if it has an impact on the value. In rural areas where there's no development pressure, we don't always see any change in the value of the land if the property has been conserved or there's perpetual easement on it for conservation. If there's absolutely no way to build on it, there's no site the regional land trust or the Vermont Land Trust has of successfully gotten a parcel of land with no buildings, and no buildings are allowed unless it's, say, agriculture or something, then we may reduce the value. Generally, we have a site on every parcel unless the site is in an adjoining town or unless it's legally or physically landlocked, or again, fully conserved. So we look at the easement document as much as we can. They've gotten very complicated, and the more recent ones can be very restrictive to what the property owner can do. And sometimes they take away any development, even if it's completely undeveloped when it is conserved. So
That's how the toys is.
in those cases, I think it would have an impact on value. If there's already a house on it, a dwelling, and 2 acres or 5 acres or 2 5-acre parcels have been held out of the conservation easement, then and it's very rural, there's no pressure to develop it, then it may not adversely impact value that much. Sometimes a point or two on the bulk land. But we do try to understand it and reflect it in the value.
Yeah.
Oh,
Anything else, Miriam?
no, I don't, sir.
Isaiah? I'm
No.
good. Mary?
Very. Well, I could talk about assessing all day long, but I don't think it will interest these guys. So, what about no, lost it, sorry. I asked you about short-term rentals, right? So yeah, I
Yeah,
got it.
you did.
And we're all good, I guess. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your flexibility with us logging in remotely. Jordan's got a little 1 month old, and you can see the bags under his eyes from the lack of sleep. So the travel time is appreciated on his part, I'm sure, and I'm the same for the travel time. But we will look at getting something in by, what is it, the 29th, I believe?
Yeah, 26th or 29th.
We'll have it to you on time.
Sealed bids.
Sealed bids.
The 26th would be the next.
The 26th.
We appreciate the fact that it used to use the analogy that signing up for reappraisal is like going to the dentist, and you know, then I ran into a dentist and he said, "Could you use a different example?" But if you can avoid a reappraisal, it's always better if you can, because it upsets people. And we know the taxes have gotten very high in Vermont, and so that's a factor as well. But it's what we do for our careers and our profession. And Westmore is a wonderful town, and we would like to serve you if possible. And I'm going to stop my used car sales pitch right there and let Jordan finish if you would like. Thank you very much, folks.
Yeah,
I just have one question. I'm a Lister, Susan Blackstone.
Oh, I'm sorry we missed you when we came over, Susan. Yeah.
How many people would you bring in to, you know, when you said you would start in 27, did you say?
May 26th.
We would start this coming May.
26. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's.
And have two summers. Yeah.
So how many people do you have access to that would also be coming to help you with all of it?
That's a good question. Our philosophy is a little different than some of the other companies. We prefer to have fewer cooks in the kitchen, if you will, or fewer fingers in the pie. And I'm going to stop with the food analogies, but this is going to be Jordan's project, with support from three or four others who may need to step in and help him get the data collected or the data entered, or certainly at the grievance, the informal grievance hearings or the formal grievances. We may need more than Jordan alone, but we're a very small company, but we do have four or five people who are trained and willing. They're aware we're talking today, and they're willing to participate to make sure that this goes smoothly for the town of Westmore and our company in Jordan. The more people you have looking at properties, the greater the opportunity you have for differences of opinion in quality and condition. And in a small town, consistency in grading those things, having one set of eyes look at the quality of a house, one set of eyes look at the condition of a house. The more you keep it consistent, the less you're going to have people coming in and saying, "Well, you know, my cousin's house across the town is the same design, was built a year before mine, and he has 10% more physical depreciation," or his is graded as average and mine is graded as halfway between average and good. He's a 3, I'm a 3.5. Why is that? We have the same kitchen, same bathroom, same size, same design. And if Jordan sees them, he might grade one at a 3.25 and one at a 3, but he'll know why. And so we try not to get 10 people barnstorming it over a 3 or 4 week period, get all of our data in, and then again, there's no consistency or, you know, there's no accuracy or thoroughness in our grading for quality and condition. And that's how I was trained by Tom 45 years ago, and I've been doing it since. And that's how we've trained Jordan in Winooski and Cambridge and in South Hero and in his projects. And I think we believe in that. That's better for the community and the property owners.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.
You've done a good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good luck. Yep. Happy New Year.
We'll be looking forward to your sealed bid on the 26th.
26. Very good. Okay.
All right.
Is he gonna? Was
how many copies do you want?
Jordan gonna send one?
Don't really need any copies. We just
one or two. I would like one too.
Yeah. An original and two copies.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's very perfect. Good. You'll get that on the 26th. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Bye
bye.
Bye.
Bye. So, oh no, let me stop.
I thought he said that other guy was going to finish up, and then he didn't say anything because I asked.